Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
What's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're going to talk about patience, abundance, and impact, and why you need all three in this business. Before we do that, though, let me tell you about Plum Investment Group. Guys, do you have a property you need funding for? Plum Investment Group is your solution. Plum helps land investors grow their business by funding your raw land purchase. It's truly an awesome deal, guys, and just to be clear, this isn't a loan. Plum will actually partner with you by putting up the money for your project. So do yourself a favor, go check out the website at www.pluminvestmentgroup.com.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
So quick to respond with the mirror method.
Yeah.
Did you learn that at podcasting school?
No.
No podcasting.
I learned that at not being a big talker school.
That's funny, because when you say you're not a big talker, I don't think that because I talk to you all the time.
Yeah, well, that's because we've known each other forever.
Yeah, I know. And that's when I try to step back and I'm like, yeah, Adam was kind of quiet. That's weird. Like, if we're in a public setting, that's a little bit different. And I'm like, that's not the Adam I know. I think you're a nice guy. You have a lot to offer to the world.
I hope so, yeah.
Just blurt it out.
Yeah. Yeah, there is no blurting out.
Yeah. So patience, abundance, and impact. I mean, you said that, and those words have been stuck in my head for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, these are your words, so I'm gonna piggyback off what you say.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let you run with it, and we're gonna hopefully motivate people and...
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what Friday's for us. Is we've kind of made that shift to talk a little bit more high level, kind of a little bit more motivation to kind of move into it, because you know, we can get technical in every episode, but I kind of feel like we people get too technical sometimes and they forget that why. They talk about their why, but you know, that energy they need to get moving forward.
Yeah, I like getting technical, because the point of this is to help people out, you know, but then to be technical every episode 3 days a week, like it could come off boring or
a little clinical.
Yeah, and we're here to have fun, because it's fun for us.
Yeah,
we hope it's fun for y'all. It's a show, we want to put it on and have a good time.
It's the only time I get to be funny.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say you're funny.
Oh man.
Yeah, that's still that could still be debatable.
That still didn't happen. You're still not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. fair enough. And so let's start with the first word, patience.
Right.
You know, what does that mean? And I think it kind of goes two different ways. You know, you have to understand this is a marathon, and I don't want to sound too clear. This isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. But at the micro level, you know, we'll get our mailer done, we'll send it to offers to owners, and you know, since they send standard mail, there is about a 11 to 17 day lag period. So on the micro level, people get really nervous in that period. Like, is this going to work? Is it not going to work? Oh my gosh, should I be doing something else? Oh, Adam Southey, look at my self-storage building. You know, you have that patience, and you kind of have to understand, breathe. Once you get your pipeline full, you'll be working through that. It'll be second nature, won't even think about it. But there is a lag time there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the art of the deal, or the structure, or the engineering of this, the whole transaction from picking a county, pricing the county, sending the mail to buy it, to getting it sold, is not an overnight thing. This is just not just ringing up money. There is some time that has to happen. And so you have to be somewhat patient in there.
Yeah, I agree. That's why you need to like constantly be mailing, so that you can like get rid of that, some of that lag time.
Yep.
For me on this, and I've said this all this week, but I didn't get to buy much out of this last one, which is why I feel like I don't have anything going on, and I am the worst with downtime.
Yeah.
Like, I hate downtime, because that's when my mind starts wandering, and that's when I want to get into look for other things.
It's when that parking lot you talk about starts filling up.
Yeah, the parking lot fills up. Thank God I like instituted that a long time ago, because I could be in so many different things right now, and that's one of those things I do stick with. Like, in the last episode when I talked about self-storage, that has been in my parking lot for years.
It's been there for a while. I can attest to that, and I'm still don't understand why you don't pull the trigger on the $100,000 one. Like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, what is he waiting on?
Well, we may go look at it tomorrow.
Okay.
So,
okay.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah. So patience there. And, you know, that's the micro, the micro being that lag time, that 10 to 14 days and freaking out during that time. The whole business, the art of that transaction, that entire transaction, there is a time and you have to be somewhat patient there. You know, you kind of have to work like you're not being patient to make sure you're moving through the process and getting the right advertising, the marketing on the backside done. But at the same time, is you have to understand this is not a get rich quick scheme. And you've said it many a times. hey, you plan on 3 years. Mm-hmm. I think 3 years is a little long in this business just because the returns are so good that you could do it in 6 months a year, but it's not the norm.
Well, I say 3 years because even if you got it financially done in 6 months to a year, you're still a rookie.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be so much that you still need to figure out. I think right around that two and a half, three-year mark, you're going to really start feeling like a business, especially if you're thinking of it like a business, like long-term, you know, and you're not just going fly by night.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you brought that up, though, because when you talked about patience, that's where I was going with this, right?
Okay.
That was what pumped in my head is like, this is a business. Mm-hmm. Don't expect just be super successful overnight.
Yeah.
Right. You got it. Just like any business, you got to have patience. It takes time. You got to put the work in and continue just growing and building.
Yeah. And I think people get hung up on the advertising that they see out there where they see quotes or they see testimonials of people just knocking it out of the park in their first couple deals. And you said it a couple shows ago that they get discouraged. It was a couple shows ago. Wait, today's episode 50.
Yeah, it is.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Congrats.
And I'm proud of you. You've done a nice job.
Okay, well, I'm proud of you.
Sorry, I digressed there, guys. But it just came to my mind. You know, patience, we're working through this. We're not even paying attention to the episodes. And it just kind of stuck to my head that, hey, today's 50. More on that later. But patience. Yeah, he loves working with me because I'm all over the place. But the patience portion, you know, you see that. It sounds sexy to say, hey, you know what? I made $100,000 my first month in business. It's great. You know, we talk about our first mailer a lot. You know, what made the change for us and the mind shift that we said, hey, we can do this. We made 70 grand off that mailer. We bought 21 properties. We had no choice at the 4 month mark when I got let go. We had to do it. I couldn't be patient. I had to do something. We tested it. We saw it worked. And then we just failed forward a lot, put a lot of mail out and just kept trying things. So I don't want somebody to be discouraged if their story isn't, hey, 4 months, you replaced your full-time income. I don't want you to be discouraged because I didn't replace my full-time income in that time. I lived off of savings and built my business to a point where I could sustain myself. So there's a big difference in that.
Even for those people, though, that they may make $100,000 the first year, mm-hmm. you have to reinvest a strong majority. Yep. Not in the first year, the first couple of months. You mm-hmm. have to reinvest a strong majority of that if you want this to be a long-term thing.
Yeah.
And going back, like you said, the first deals, I did not make $70,000 on my first one. So like my first year was a lesson in patience because I bought my first three properties. And then because I didn't know how to sell them,
mm-hmm.
right? It took several months.
Yep.
And I think even for me, I struggled then too. Like, well, okay, I know how to buy them, but what about selling them? Is this actually a feasible thing? Do people actually buy these? And then all of a sudden they just all sold. And then once I know how to buy them, I don't know how to sell them. Just slowly keep moving forward.
Yeah, and your machine looks totally different than mine now. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. And there's so many different ways that people do things. I think the worst thing people can do is look at one of us and just copy paste. And, you know, with the Coffee Money Real Estate Investing book going out, we've had some people that go to our eBay listings and just copy and paste our eBay listings. And, you know, it's flattering at the same point, but put your own spin on it. You know, be a little patient, learn your process and own it.
Yeah. Everybody's will be different.
Yeah, they will. So abundance. That's another word that's been sticking to me.
All right.
And that's that abundance mentality. You know, Tony Robbins tells a story about, you know, he's at a restaurant and he's got $20 to his name. And, you know, that was the moment he felt wealthy. You know, he is at this buffet and he eats for like $8. And then he sees this kid walk in, open the door for this lady, a nice looking lady, nice looking kid, sits down and the kid's all dressed up in like a suit and he's on a date. And he's on a date and it's his mom. And he's like, oh, I see you're taking her on a date. And he goes, oh, it's my mom. And he says, man, you know, you treated her so well. You pulled the chair out for you, opened the door for her. I just want to let you know, I'm really impressed by you. I want to buy your lunch. So he gives him his last $16 or whatever it was and paid for the kid's lunch. And the guy's like, and he goes, no, I'm buying y'all's lunch because you are a good guy and you've got a beautiful date and I want you to be able to pay for her date. And so he said he walks home. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He's broke now. Has $0. And then he gets a check in the mail that the guy he loaned some money to with interest. And the guy says, hey, man, I'm sorry I've been avoiding you. And so he said at that moment, he realized that abundance mentality for him was where his wealth is found. And I think that where I see it most on the new land investors is they sent 397 mailers, right? And they're so freaked out that if this 397 mailers doesn't work, then I'm just not going to do it anymore. And it's their first mailer. They're not quite right. You can't think that away. You got to think there's always more deals. You know, you can always send more mail. You can always just keep growing your business, but you have to think abundantly. Like there's not too many people in this niche. There's not enough land. I mean, there's 3,224 counties in the country. You know, I think there's about 3,100 counties that you would actually mail to in the 48 states, but there is plenty of land in that. There's tons of property.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely no shortage of land to buy, offers to send, what mm-hmm. and where you can take this business.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people get hung up on the fact that this industry, this niche is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you, as it grows, you think, well, I got more and more competition.
Yeah.
Right. But when for the people that network and with other land investors, right, you find more deals with each other.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter how many people you know, like you can always run out of money on a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Right.
No, and you partner on that. It's like for us, our business model is, yeah, we have our land business that it does consistent. You don't see me blowing out the goals on it. I know what I want to make on that to survive. And then we have Plum that we provide partnership deals. I think I just looked this last week. I think we hit $1.5 million in value that we have with Plum in inventory, all bought at about 30 cents on a dollar. I mean, think about that spread there. I mean, that's huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got a $1 million company sitting there because I understand there's more deals. There's more people that need help. And that's that abundance mentality. How can I help them get and get those deals out there so we're not losing those deals just to non-starters?
Yeah, that would be my biggest advice to someone new is don't worry about how fast or slow you think this industry is growing because there's a lot to be done.
If the 397 mailers or the 250 that you sent or the 500 is, you know, make or break for you, then probably don't send them. Sit back until you can afford to get that 1,500, that 2,000 pieces of mail out and get that marketing material to where you're really going to do some good and get enough sample size that you can actually make a determination there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've said that before. If you can only afford 300, 400, 500 mailers, it's like you might be better off to
save some money for a little bit.
Yeah.
Go. I mean, we talked about how to buy property for 50, 60 bucks a piece that you can double, triple your money on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, why would you spend that money on a mailer when you can buy it over the counter online or something.
Yeah. And there's plenty of ways to do that. And there's tons of free content out there to learn these different methods and do it. Is that shiny object syndrome? No, that's kind of getting versed in your niche. Okay. Hey, does buying land cheap work? Yes. What are the ways to buy land? Okay. You can direct mail, you know, put an offer in Craigslist to, hey, I'll buy your land. If you have land in these counties or this places, you know, go over the counter in different states.
Yeah, no, I definitely would not consider that shiny object syndrome. I mean, it's land is land.
Yep.
Right, that's your niche.
It's your developing your inbound flow.
Yeah.
So the third one that's really stood out to me, and I think this is where I have I'm separated on it, is impact. Like, how do you impact your surroundings?
Okay.
And by that, I mean, you know, so does every person that start a land investing company need to start a podcast? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, you don't. Does everybody need to private fund deals? You necessarily don't. I chose to do that because I saw that is where my business was going. That was what I like to do. I like to look at deals and I wanted to be a part of more deals. And so private funding offered that for me, offer solutions to fix problems on deals. And I get to look at deals. That's where naturally for me, I like. And like for you that sold, I think you did an interview with a broker that was like one of the nation's leading land sales people just because you like to sell land.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw an opportunity that maybe you could add into part of your business.
Yeah, I did think about that for a while. I thought it would be good to add that vet. So I was getting mailers back that I couldn't afford to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, maybe it would be good to be offered to sell that for these people. Yep. Obviously, I wanted to make money on the sales side of it. But it presented a solution to people that had land they couldn't get rid of because I couldn't buy it, right? And so I ended up not doing that just because we know how I feel about realtors. But I think, I mean, it definitely would have helped some people.
Yeah, no, and that's I think that, you know, you can make an impact positively around you. And that kind of, you know, it doesn't have to be related necessarily to your business. And I think it stood out to me. And I was having lunch with my older brother, and he's starting to become an active land investor. I think he's got four or five deals under his belt now, or he's part of. And he's got a couple more pieces of mail that are about to go out. But he was like, you know, since you started doing this, I see a change. You've become, he's like, nicer is the wrong word, but it's like you've become nicer. And I thought, I was like, huh. And he's like, what's wrong with your eye? And I was starting getting teared up. I was like, nothing. I'm good. Allergies, you know. And he's like, "Are you crying?" I was like, "No, I'm eating my macaroni and cheese right now." So,
second time on this show, you've mentioned that you're a crier.
I tear up, man. I'm not gonna lie. Like, apparently, I have like a built a ball of stress on me that sometimes it just releases.
Sometimes comes out. All
right. Yeah, I mean, that's normally I find it on the beach. Like, I'll be sitting on a beach and I'll just start crying, listening to my music, just watching the waves come in.
Wow.
So I don't invite you to beach vacations. That's my week to cry.
If that's what you need.
There's different ways to make impact. And that's kind of what that thought is like your impact doesn't necessarily have to be in your niche. It can be in the community around. Maybe you give back with church because of something. You give your, you know, royalties from a book, like I do, to charity. You know, there's things that you can do that impact it, the community around you. And, you know, I was talking to a land investor, and I said something, and they go, well, that's good karma. And I was like, yeah, I believe karma. It's going to come back around you. Don't do it to have good karma. But I have noticed that impact in other people's life. If you make a positive impact, it comes around to you in different ways.
No, I definitely believe in that. I mean, I've paid for things I've done when I was younger, and I've also had some good stuff come back too.
Yeah. And that's kind of, I think that I tend to give people the benefit of the doubt a little bit more than I probably should, because in hopes that, you know, it's not for me, but they impact somebody later. So you think about the butterfly wings on a pond or the ocean, and it turns into a tsunami later. That's what you hope that you create. So
I was thinking the Butterfly Effect, the movie.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Crazy movie.
Yeah. That's freaked me out.
Yeah. I don't really care for that movie because it's so weird, but
anyway. It feels like it could be true.
It could be.
That's what weirds me out about it.
Every decision you make has an impact somewhere.
Yeah. And so I believe that our actions do as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of why, like for me, this was like part of the podcast, is what could we do to kind of help impact, you know, people and kind of get them over that hump? Because it sounds surreal, the stuff that we tell them about the returns that we get. It sounds like we make it so simple, and there's some work here, and I don't want it to sound we oversimplify it a lot of times, but for us, it's kind of filling those holes and those gaps that we see and make a positive impact for a few people.
Well, you just reminded me when you said people don't necessarily believe us with the returns that we say. Mm-hmm. When Jen was on the other week and she's talking about her story, and then all people she knows were commenting like, well, what is this? Is this a scam? Is this, you know? And I thought, man, maybe if I didn't know anything about this industry, I would think, is this another one of those MLM scams? Like, how are these guys making money off of me type of deal?
Yeah, it's exactly what I thought. When you bought your first $500 5 acres, it's like, nobody sells land for $500 for 5 acres. I will buy it all for 5 acres for $500. Everything.
Yeah.
And then I meet Luke Smith, and he mails the whole state of New Mexico 5 acres, $500, and probably bought 30 or 40 of them.
I would say that'd be a low number.
Yeah.
He just seems like he buys
a lot.
A lot.
Yeah. I don't know if Luke listens to our show. I know he'll have me on his Monday YouTube channel every now and again. He's caught me a couple times, like in the bathroom. He calls. He's like, hey, Justin, it's Luke. I've got you live on YouTube. And I'm like, mute, flush, run to my office.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
TMI.
Rated G show.
Why are you answering when you're in there? That's your mistake.
When I see certain people call, I talk to you all the time in the bathroom.
Okay, let's move on.
But, you know, again, we hope that our impact to this niche and the people that are listening, you know, I think success will show for us. If Casual Fridays is a success, we've impacted a few people positively, and they've made it over the hump. They've gotten to become self-employed. They have not given up, or they saw something else in their life that said, you know what, y'all said this in the show about land, but I can relate to whatever it may be, and they've taken it and ran with it. And that's a success for me.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about the show, is being able to impact people.
Yeah, and I think it came back to me at our live event when I had a couple wives come up to me and said, hey, you gave me my husband back. The guy, that young guy that I met that was just out to take over the world, you brought him back to me. And that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we're already a success. I'm about to cry, Adam. About to cry. Let's call it Friday there.
Okay, yeah, we'll end it there. So that's it for today, guys. I hope you have a really strong weekend. Get out there, buy some property, make some offers, do what you got to do. And while you're doing it, go to Facebook, go to Instagram, find us at Casual Fridays, REI, like the page, follow the page. And then go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us. Like, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Really appreciate it. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Yep, great. Thanks. And happy 50th, Adam.
Hey, happy 50th.